The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad copies. Now, we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. I'm going to read you a poem today. I don't know who wrote it. It doesn't have a title. But it's ultimately about compassion. Thanks to lamenting over the pain of the world, I am able to become laughter when my life is happy. Due to being struck and trampled upon and biting my lips to control my temper, I fully realize how precious it is to be born. Even if I am intentionally tired of an ugly world, look, what a blue sky. Even if one laughs scornful at my penniless life, there's something much more beautiful, true, and worthy that everyone knows. I don't care so much about anything else except love and sincerity, the sun and a little amount of rain from time to time. If I have a healthy body and a little piece of bread, I want to walk with a smile and great spirits. I will do my best to work without complaining about anything at all. I always consider things by putting myself in another's place, without flinching, no matter how hard and heart-rending it is to live. If there is someone unfortunate, I will help him out of anything. If I can forget myself to help out, that will surely delight me. In the morning the sun rises, I greet it. I will do my best to live today. In the evening when the sun sets, staring at the evening glow, I want to sit still. With a little dream in my heart, I sleep as quietly as a little bird. If I have my own time, I want to spend it reading an old collection of poems, meditating on them alone, quietly. Let's find happiness by ourselves, within silver tears like pearls and laughter like the sun. Let's keep walking ahead each day. Certainly someday, as I look back over my past, I will quietly see my life with a smile. This is written by a doctor in Japan who was performing an operation on an American soldier who had parachuted out of his plane. And he was ordered to stop the operation. And he didn't. He kept on going. But the hospital got bombed in an air raid, and everybody had to evacuate. And when he came back, somebody had stabbed this soldier and killed him. And he was convicted for the crime. And this poem was written 5 days before he died, before he was executed. I'm going to read it again. Now that you know the circumstances. Thanks to lamenting over the pain of the world, I am able to become laughter when my life is happy. This is the acceptance of suffering, so one can be truly alive. Due to being struck and trampled upon and biting my lips to control my temper, I fully realize how precious it is to be born. This is the restraining of the senses so that one can keep the precepts and realize true peace. Even if I am intentionally tired of an ugly world, look, what a blue sky. Even if he tries to get upset about something, all he has to do is look up. Even if one laughs scornfully at my penniless life, there's something much more beautiful, true, and worthy that everyone knows. The wonderful thing about that is ability to see the Buddha nature in all beings and realize that there's nothing special about himself, but everybody shares in this. I don't care so much about anything else except love and sincerity, the sun and a little amount of rain from time to time. If I have a healthy body and a little piece of bread, I want to walk with a smile and great spirits. I will do my best to work without complaining about anything at all. Oof, I'd love to be that way. The non-judgmental mind. I always consider things by putting myself in another's place without flinching, no matter how hard and heart-rending it is to live. Putting yourself in another person's perspective is what sympathy is all about. Be able to realize where the other person is coming from. If there is someone unfortunate, I will help him out with anything. The Tibetans have a wonderful phrase about training. It says that all suffering is caused by wanting things for ourselves, and all happiness comes from helping others. If I can forget myself to help out, that will surely delight me. In the morning the sun rises and I greet it. I will do my best to live today. That doing my best is it's a really big job. Because if you really look at what you're doing and try to give it your full attention and really do your best at whatever it is you're doing, that's a big job. In the evening when the sun sets, staring at the evening glow, I want to sit still. It's this natural process that wants to seek refuge in that stillness. This is how Avalokiteshvara is enlightenment, by simply listening to the silence, going into that stillness. Because right there in the present moment, if you can sit still, truly be still, that's the doorway into the infinite. With a little dream in my heart, I sleep as quietly as a little bird. There's a lovely advice about when you're going to sleep, keep the three treasures in your heart. If I have my own time, I want to spend it reading an old collection of poems and meditating on them quietly. Let's find happiness by ourselves and happiness within ourselves. Within silver tears like pearls and laughter like the sun, let's keep walking ahead each day. The tears of Kanzion, the tears of compassion, are not separate from that stillness or the suffering of the world. They arise when Kanzion got his compassion, got his understanding, and his mind merged with the total compassion of all the Buddhas. It also merged with all the suffering of the world. They're not separate things. And yet still, we have to ask for help. Let's keep walking ahead each day. Certainly someday, as I look back over my past, I will quietly see my life with a smile. This is what he was doing as he was waiting to be executed. This week somebody asked, what sacrifice do I have to make in order to feel compassion? And this is a really good explanation for that question. And I want to go over it again with that question in mind. Ko Zenji says, if you can give up something as small as the self, you can know something as great as the universe. And this sacrifice is giving up something that we need to let go of in order to know the truth. And it comes from the acceptance of suffering, thanks to lamenting over the pain of the world. It's gratitude for the fact of suffering. The human world is considered the best possible place to be born because on the one hand, we can know suffering, we can know our inadequacies, greeds, angers, and fears, and we can know the eternal, and it's our job to bring that adequacy and inadequacy together. And that's the place at which we can learn. And the gratitude is one of the wisdoms that allows us to manifest this great compassion. Thanks to lamenting over the pain of the world, I'm able to become laughter when my life is happy. That is just to be with whatever is going on in your life, to become completely at one with this, whatever this is. Due to being struck and trampled upon and biting my lips to control my temper, I fully realize how precious it is to be born. This gift that we've been given comes with a cost. We have to accept the fact that we have this old karma and that we react out of greed and anger and fear and inadequacy and desires of all kinds. And those are the things that if we use them properly will drive us into this heart of compassion. Because it is through the suffering that we realize that we have to do something about ourselves. When her master was in Japan, she said, no matter what the circumstances, I knew that I had to do something about myself. And that turning that stream of compassion within, giving up both knowledge and its recognition, is how one harmonizes body and mind. And the ability to look at and see what it is that we need to do to change is to be in touch with the eternal. Because that which understands the error is not itself in error. But we have to be able to look with the eyes of compassion. We have to be able to restrain our senses to not act out of anger or fear, but to sit still with that and experience that feeling without having to either repress it or push it away or get rid of it or act on it. And this is what patience is about. It's bearing that which is difficult to bear. And this poem and these expressions are a beautiful example of putting up with things that are difficult to bear. Here this man is being executed for a crime he didn't commit. And he's willing to write and be able to write with this bright heart, to look up and see the blue sky, even if I am intentionally tired of an ugly world, even when he wants to be miserable and upset, he looks up. This is the result of many years of training. If one wants to know what it is that we have to give up in order to know the truth, it's to do this kind of training where we can bear that which is difficult to bear. We can be patient with our temper. We can be patient with the inequalities and injustices of the world. We can put up with the hardest things, those little things in daily life. Somebody was describing his road rage the other day. And somebody cuts you off on the freeway, well, big deal. But the little things become a big deal. Because we're not at peace with ourselves and we have to just be there with those things that are annoying or unpleasant or difficult. And that's what patience is all about. Just be there with that and it will dissolve. I was in Portland the other night and the book on the bedside table was, "Don't take your life personally." Which means, just like this fellow is doing here, that it doesn't matter what happens to you. That's just old karma. And the circumstances are not the source of the suffering. It's what our mind does with the circumstances that turns it into suffering. And it's constantly coming back to how I perceive things. And if I perceive things as, I don't like this, and I don't want this, and I want something else, there's never a place of peace. Because the self lives in those ideas and opinions and our likes and our dislikes, even in our indifferences. Being indifferent means that it doesn't bother me because I don't care about it. And the I there is the key thing. The wanting is the greed, the pushing, and not wanting is the hate, and the indifference is the delusion. And this greed, hate, and delusion is what we have to let go of if you want to know the truth. Because deep compassion is there in the midst of any of those things if we allow them simply to dissolve by not acting on them, not pushing them away, just letting the feeling pass through. Karma is created by action, and the result, when that action comes from ignorance, is suffering. And all it needs to be done is to have the feeling pass through. You don't have to make it into something better. You don't have to get rid of it. You just have to be still with it and realize that it has nothing to do with you personally. It's just a passing thought or feeling. It's not your mind. Dogen said, this very body is not my own. Well, whose is it? It belongs to the eternal, if anything. It doesn't belong to anybody, actually. It doesn't have to belong. Even if one laughs scornfully at my penniless life, there is something much more beautiful, true, and worthy that everyone knows. This is being able to look at everyone and see the Buddha. There's not one being or one thing that is not a manifestation of the eternal. And it's our perception of that that turns scorn or some insult or difficulty or some miscommunication with somebody else, turns that into something wonderful, because you can see that beneath that scorn is something pure and precious that everybody shares. And if you can see it within someone else, you can find it within yourself, and vice versa. If you can see it in yourself, you'll find it in everyone. It's there all the time, and it's our ability to perceive that that changes those circumstances from suffering into compassion. Because it's our ability to change how it is that we perceive things. The woman who wrote the book, The Stroke of Insight, who had this massive stroke and was recovering from it and realized that as her left brain was coming back, she didn't want a lot of that stuff that was criticizing, complaining, and blaming other people, and she just trained her mind not to go there. And she said, I may not have a lot of control over the circumstances of my life, but I have absolute control over how I perceive them. And that's the same that what Rastra did in Japan when she realized, no matter how difficult the situation is, I've got something to learn from this. And that ability to learn is to see that everyone has the Buddha nature, that there is something beautiful, true, and worthy in everyone, and that they know it. And if you address that by speaking from that place yourself and acting from that place, you will get a very different response. Things will change. But that's what it is to give up the self, is to not cling to these ideas and opinions, these hurt feelings, these likes, these dislikes. And so just a subtle little shift, but this is what it means to turn that stream of compassion within. the sacrifice that we have to make is not sacrificing animals or even human sacrifice. But Reverend Master wrote a wonderful article on the cost of reality, in which she described what it is that she got in Japan, and also later on, how she deepened that. And yes, it does, because it didn't matter to her whether she had risked her health or gave up her position and worldly goods and everything else. Because there was something there that was so much more precious. And that willingness to give up these petty grievances and likes and dislikes is really a very small price. As the Reverend Master used to say, well, you know, giving up your suffering, it's getting rid of something you never wanted anyway. But you have to train yourself to do this. It doesn't happen automatically. But we have this incredible tool of meditation that allows us just to be still in the midst of those things. And if you're truly still, without pushing away, without acting on it, just being there in the midst of that, they dissolve, because like anything else, they're impermanent. They'll only come back if we let them back. And then we do that over again, just sit still with it, let it go, over and over again. But this is the real sacrifice, it's getting rid of our suffering, letting go of it, committing ourselves to this process, the keeping of the precepts, the doing of the meditation. These are incredible tools that allows us to turn that stream of compassion within. I will do my best to work without complaining about anything at all. I too long to be thus, letting go of the complaining mind. Always consider things by putting myself in another's place without flinching, no matter how hard and heart-rending it is to live. That's what sympathy is all about. This is one of the four immeasurables. Sympathy and also sympathetic joy, being able to put yourself in the position of somebody who's having some sort of great success, or and enjoying other successes is also important, as to be able to feel the difficulties that others are experiencing. If there is someone unfortunate, I will help him out with anything. The willingness just to do whatever's needed. And that's what generosity is all about. It starts with giving your attention in your meditation. Just giving yourself to whatever work you're doing. Just paying attention, just being fully aware of the things that you're doing. Whether it's eating, going to the bathroom, driving to work, doing your work, sitting in meditation. Just being fully present, giving your attention to the things that you're doing. And if you can help somebody else, if I can forget myself to help out, that will surely delight me. That's the bodhisattva mind, the willingness to withgo the enjoyment of one's enlightenment, to be able to help other beings. And doing your training, just keeping the precepts, just controlling your temper, this is helping all beings. Whether you see that or not, is only because you're still holding on to this idea of a you. And if you let go of this illusion, then who's getting helped here? Everybody gets helped. In the morning, the sun rises, I greet it. I will do my best to live today. Nothing, what is it? Dr. Johnson saying, nothing like the presence of death to concentrate the mind. And this man only had a few days left to live. If we live each day as if it were our last, we would give it our full attention. Because we would realize how important it is. In the evening, when the sun sets, staring at the evening glow, I want to sit still. This is the basic need, human need, to be still. And it's something that isn't encouraged or taught in our society. We're encouraged to think we have to be doing something in order to have any sort of real identity. And of course, sitting there looking at a wall, it looks pretty ridiculous. Well, it is, but it works. The truth, the whole truth, and anything else, it works. But that desire to be still and the willingness to work on training your mind to be patient with that stillness is where true compassion can arise. Yes, if we can just simply shift the attention to the stillness rather than the busyness in the mind. It's just a subtle little shift in where we put our attention. And developing patience with that is what is described in the Chiragama as the way to do meditation, is just develop patience with the mind of stillness. With a little dream in my heart, I sleep as quietly as a little bird. Yesterday I was listening to some baby robins who weren't very quiet. They were waiting for their breakfast. But when their parents aren't there, they're very quiet. And that quiet is what allows them to keep from getting eaten by other beings. But that stillness in the heart, the peace of heart, comes from letting go of the self, letting go of our hurt feelings, letting go of our desires, letting go of our fears. That's what allows us to be at peace. If I have my own time, I want to spend it reading an old collection of poems and meditating on them quietly alone. Let us find happiness within ourselves. Within the silver tears like pearls and laughter like the sun. Let's keep walking ahead each day. Certainly someday, as I look back over my past, I will quietly see my life with a smile. May you all be able to do this. May we all be able to do this.